It is now time for the crime report, brought to you by the Suffolk Crime Stoppers, 1-800-220-TIPS, 220-8477. All calls kept confidential. Monetary reward of up to $5,000 issued in some cases for information leading to an arrest. Joseph Jacqueline, retired NYPD Sergeant of All Command, the officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad. He's a current adjunct professor at John Jay College, an author of the bestseller, The Criminal Investigative Function Guide for New Investigators, edition number 3, and a highly decorated member of the NYPD in his day, including the Department Medal of Valor. The aforementioned Joseph Jacqueline. We say a very good morning to the Sarge. Sir, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Jay. How are you?
I am doing well. Joe, a lot to get to. And I'm going to start off, you know, earlier in the week, all who might have read a story in the state of Oklahoma where they released some 450 to 500 criminals. That's right. They let them out. Various reasons. Maybe a little overcrowding involved. Maybe some were misdemeanors. Maybe they were low-level felons. I mean, who knows? But, you know, I couldn't help, Joe, I couldn't help think about what's going to happen January the 1st in our neck of the woods. I was reading, I think, what is it, 900 or so? 900 or so city jailbirds will be let out. And you know what's even funnier than that? The fact that the city's plans to bribe them to show up for court. you know, you talk about the reform law that kicks in January the 1st. Big problem coming our way, I would think, huh?
Yeah, it seems to be that way. I mean, not everybody that is going to get released is going to reoffend, of course. However, you know, some of them will. And if you look at any of the statistics about reoffending rates, they're actually unacceptably high. So when we're dealing with this kind of thing, that's the thing that you have to think of. But my question is this, Jay. If you're going to release all these extra prisoners even before January 1st, do we have enough parole officers and probation officers to be able to handle this thing? Or are they going to go out unsupervised? And it seems to be they're going to be out unsupervised, and that's probably not a good plan. And unfortunately, you know, especially in New York City right now, we're seeing a spike in violent crime. Murders up right now. I mean, yeah, albeit the numbers aren't off the charts, but you have to just start to take a look at some of the trends and be careful because you don't want to let things get out of control.
Man, complete outrage, really is. And you know what's even crazier? You know, they're likely more to walk after trial too, Joe. Because, you know, this so-called reform law also gives defense lawyers the right to see all the prosecution evidence. Think about that, including witness names, all within a couple of weeks of their arraignment. And if prosecutors, by the way, fail to deliver, ladies and gentlemen, the case may just collapse and all. That's it. Go away. Same, Joe, if witnesses decide they're a little too frightened to testify, maybe after getting a mysterious threat or so. Look for that to happen as well, you know?
Well, they're going to the discovery part of this now is going to go down to 15 days, which is a real short period of time. And if you're dealing with a place specifically like New York City, where you deal with hundreds of arrests every day, that task could become onerous. I mean, I don't think the courts have enough people to make copies and do all this stuff to get the discovery to the defense attorney. So yeah, there will be cases that will get lost in the shuffle and not be able to provide the information that is needed in those 15 days. It's just, I don't know, Jay. I wish people would just take a deep breath and just hold off. Even the Attorney General, Letitia James, is asking, like, basically saying we need to cool off a little bit with this.
You got to rethink here, I think. I love the fact, what are we going to bribe people to come back into court? Why don't we just offer them season's tickets? To the Jets or the Giants for 2012. By the way, no one will show up for that. But you know what are we going to do? Entice now? Are we going to entice thieves to have their day in court with something? Is it going to be some sort of De Blasio way of thinking? Tickets to the Met? I mean, what are we looking at here, Joe?
Well, I guess giving them tickets to the Jets games would be cruel and unusual punishment. So I don't know if they're going to give them those, but. the issue that comes down to is that they already know that no one's going to show up to court. So they're already trying to come out with this, whatever, incentive, let's call it, to show back up to court. Now, they're not going to show up to court. They're going to warrant out. They're going to be bench warrants galore. The police are going to have to either track these guys down, or maybe the plan is not to track them down at all. And then the cops are going to run into them down later down the road, and these guys aren't going to want to go to jail, and there's going to be more use of force. And then, you know, this is... it's not going to be pretty in the beginning, I can tell you that.
No, it's not. So we'll keep an eye on that. Joe Jacklin on the Crime Report. Let's go to a situation earlier in the week regarding some of the ICE arrests. You and I have spoken about this a lot as well. That was an operation that took place. That's right, 23. I think the number was 23 arrests. Where you had ICE, sexual predators, ladies and gentlemen, on Long Island. It was dubbed Operation SOAR, Sex Offender Alien Removal, a.k.a. And, Joe, those individuals with past criminal convictions, sexual abuse to rape, apprehended there. Good operation there.
Yeah, it was actually pretty quiet about the whole thing until the actual news broke, and it was... overwhelmingly in Suffolk County, they took out 32 sex offenders into custody, and they booked them out of Central Islip. You know, it just goes to show you that I guess they have to do these things, unfortunately, without much help from the local police, because I think both Nassau and Suffolk have kind of locked ICE out from doing this stuff, so they're doing this on their own. And you know, the sheer number alone, 32, is it's pretty alarming.
And they included nationals from Canada, the Dominican Republic, Egypt, Joe, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Jamaica, Mexico, Pakistan, Philippines, Portugal. So very diverse in their findings there. Joe Jacklin, the Crime Report. Joe, you and I spoke a couple of days ago. James O'Neill taking a job at Visa, I guess, to run their security division. Dermot Shea now in. You and I spoke, and I sense frustration on James O'Neill, the bail reform and everything else that's coming into play. Maybe he's just had a little bit too much. Did you get that sense as well, why he basically decided to bow out here?
Well, I was shocked, kind of like just about everybody else. I think it was they kept it real quiet that he was that he just upped and left. But I think the most foretelling thing in the press conference was when he said that he was the PC for 3 years, but it felt more like 30. I think that was, you know, very foretelling about how he felt about working for the mayor and the like. So, listen, you know, Dermot Shea, I wish him the best. He's got his work cut out for him. He's got the deck is pretty much stacked against him with all these different reforms kicked in. I mean, on October 1st, they raised the age bill for the 17-year-olds now kicked in. So last year was 16 years old that they don't arrest. Now it's 17-year-old they don't arrest. Certain cases, so you know, you look at the crime stats, you kind of question them, because if you're not arresting 16 and 17 year olds for violent, you know, some violent felonies, you have to then kind of take a step back and say, well, how bad the crime picture really is if we're not counting schools, counting homeless shelters. There's a lot of things that are being left out now.
And listen, to me, and a lot of this falls on de Blasio, you know, when you are working with a guy who runs the city, basically your boss, and he is so far left, you know what? It's got to make it tough. I can't. I mean, for a guy as reputable as James O'Neill and everything else, I mean, you know, he took over the post, and I mean, he did a great job. You sensed authority. You sensed respect. And then he goes another route here. You just say to yourself, you know what? How much can a guy take? I mean, that's really what I got out of it.
Oh, I agree. I think that he had enough. And I think also, you know, there is a factor of, you know, you're dealing with violent crime on the rise, and you're dealing with all these other things coming forward on January 1st. You know, nobody wants to be without a chair when the music stops. You know, nobody wants to be the police commissioner when this thing goes out of control. So I think he was pretty much, you know, guided by Brett and saying, hey, like, hey, time to go, because he is a Brett guy. You know, I worked for him directly for a couple of years. He's a gentleman. He's a really nice guy. I just think that he He ran afoul of the unions and the police department. You think he lost the rank and file with a couple of decisions that he made. And, you know, being the police commissioner, you have to make tough decisions. And that's the bottom line. Some of them are not popular. Many of them are not popular with the rank and file. But, you know, the cops understand that this is a political position. But I just think that they think they went a little too far.
Maybe not popular with the decision of the firing of police officer Daniel Pantaleo. The individual with the chokehold on Eric Garner. And the new commissioner-to-be, Dermot Shea, says, you know what, he would have fired Pantaleo. Did you know Dermot Shea in your day?
No, he was in the department, of course, when I was there. However, I didn't work for him directly yet. I didn't know much about him. But from what I've heard is that he's a very smart guy. He's a very pro-cop guy. I think the unions are going to wait to see how much of a politician he turns into and how fast. I think that's the bottom line. People don't understand it, but the police commissioner spot is a very political spot. I mean, you serve at the behest of the mayor, and basically you take your orders from the mayor. So when the mayor says he doesn't control the police department, I think that's not really being forthcoming about exactly how much influence he has.
No question. Joe Giaclone, the crime report. Let's roll out some stories here. Yesterday, prosecutors charging Long Island-based company with illegally importing and selling, Joe, Chinese-made surveillance and security equipment. Right in Comac, my old digs on Mall Drive there. I tell you, pretty bold, this Aventura Inc. They made a lot of money in the last 9 or 10 years, Joe. But I guess greed always prevails, and thus arrests always even more so prevail. As in the case here. Yeah. It's a crazy story.
Yeah, and well, the other crazy part of it, too, is that he puts the company in the wife's name so that she gets the minority-owned business discounts and everything else that goes with it. I mean, this has been basically like a scam from the beginning, fraud from the beginning. And now it's pretty much, they're saying that it was kind of selling military secrets, but it basically to the Chinese. This is bad.
You're right. You know, the old shell company game. And they were right on this thing. So they seized a lot of stuff yesterday right there in the Comac Hop Hog area. All right, let's go to a couple of members of MS-13. We see the Massapequa Preserve, the infamous Massapequa Preserve at this point. Two members of the gang charged now with murder and conspiracy, Joe. You know, listen, this is becoming a pattern of these heinous crimes and arrests and everything else. So Madeline Singh is right on it yesterday.
Oh, yeah, and this is, you know, this is on the back, I think, of about a month ago they made one of the other arrests, and I'm assuming that arrest has led to the additional ones. So I think that the law enforcement out there is doing an excellent job about debriefing the prisoners that they do have and getting the information that they need and then tracking these guys down. And I think that, you know, everybody should be, you know, get a congratulations, but there's not a time for a victory lap. I mean, when Madeline Singh got reelected the other night, part of her speech about her acceptance speech was about continuing going at the MS-13. So she specifically made that part of her platform. So I think that it kind of tells us that this problem is not going away, and it's just as bad as it was before. It's just maybe a little quieter now, but, you know, she's been on top of this thing from the beginning. So, like I said, she won the election, and I think rightly so. She's done a great job. And
the only,
you know, hope.
Listen, Joe, the only thing I could say on this is I wish people would stop saying we have them on the run. You know, please. I don't want to hear it. You know what? Let's just get these guys and lock them up and everything else. I don't want to hear who's on the run. I don't want to hear, you know, be afraid, be fearful. We know who you are. We know we're coming. Stop. I don't want to hear it. You know, just do your jobs. You know, round them up, arrests, put them in a court of law, and then get them out. You know, that's really what it is. But all in all, listen, we've seen both counties at it. Let's go to this doctor, and I quote, put that in quotes, who practices in Roslyn, Joe, arrested by federal agents yesterday. We've seen this movie before, illegally selling pills to a couple of patients. One, I believe, died of an overdose there. So this guy is right out of Amityville there, Joe.
Yep, and you know, oxycodone and that kind of stuff. I mean, this is the second one, I believe, now in the week. I think we talked about one last week, too. I think he was a much older guy. much older doctor that was selling the prescriptions from his car, right? So here is another, you know, so they're on top of this thing, and I think that it's great that they're tracking these doctors down, and they, you know, let's just make sure you throw the book at these guys because we want to try to deter this behavior in the future. And it's just, this is kind of how they say that the heroin epidemic has started, and we need to make sure that we end it, but we need to stop this from happening because if not, it's going to continue on and on.
Crazy. I read the story last week we spoke about the guy selling these pills out of his car out of Dunkin' Donuts. I mean, come on. You know, that's enough. 20 years this guy will get if convicted. All right, let's go to a sting operation. A couple of guys charged, I think it was in Hempstead, regarding vaping products to underage customers. So a couple of guys rounded up there, and we've seen this before as well. And you're going to see more of it, you know, regarding the vaping stuff from Juul, Joe.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's going to be one of those things where I think you're going to see nuisance abatement, too, where they're going to be closing places down because of it. In West Babylon, they closed the 7 different shops down. So they're on top of that one, too. I mean, once it's you have to figure out when you come up with this prohibition or something, you have to then enforce it to make sure that it's got teeth. And I think that's exactly what's happening now.
Yep. 26 arrested, drug charges at a concert at the Coliseum earlier in the week. 16 arrested for, what was it, nitrous oxide? That's a misdemeanor. Ecstasy, mushrooms, LSD, my goodness. Typical back in the Grateful Dead days, Joe, when you and I were kids.
Yeah.
But this was one of those.
Oh my God! Drugs at a concert.
It's like Jerry.
Oh my.
It's like Jerry Garcia all over again, Joe. But it was one of those offshoot bands. Dead and Company played at the Nassau Coliseum. But 26 arrests in all. Interesting.
Yeah. No, I just wish that people would go to some of these things just to have a good time and, you know, leave that kind of stuff at home because you affect other people who want to enjoy the concert, too, who are not interested in, you know, smelling the marijuana and all the other stuff that goes along with it. So, you know, I'm shocked at a semi-Grateful Dead concert. There's drugs at it, right? Well, oh, my gosh, you can see my face. You know, you see what happens. I mean, why would you bring this stuff in there knowing that the security is going to be pretty tight? Security is really tight at these things because of the fact of, you know, well, they're worried about somebody getting a gun or somebody else, something else in there and having a mass shooting. So they're going to turn the place upside down, and here's an idea. Just don't do it anymore.
I guess like father, like son holds true in Bayshore the other night, huh? Where father and son team had a bit of a graffiti spree. Honey, what do you need? Milk? Creamer? Bread? No problem. And maybe take a little side road and do a little graffiti spree on the way home. Apparently, both senior and junior charged out with multiple counts. Crazy story there.
Yeah, no, it was actually, the Suffolk detectives were actually investigating another case when they actually saw this stuff happening. And he's a 48-year-old man doing this now. He's getting charged with 6 counts of making graffiti when, you know, a criminal mischief, either second or third degree. I mean, it depends on how much the damage is. I mean, this could rise to the level of a felony, so it's going to be interesting to see exactly how much they go after this case.
Joe, the largest seizure of the deadly synthetic opioid in Nassau County history. How about that? Talking about 400 grams of fentanyl. A couple of investigations, the indictment of 11 or so people, gun and drug charges. Well done over there. That's valued, by the way, at $130,000 on the street, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, no, it's another big seizure, but I guess we see these big seizures coming every couple of weeks, and it's just kind of, you're kind of like saying to yourself, my God, how many are out, how many have got through, how many of these have gotten through that they're not stopping? So the fight continues against this opioid epidemic and fentanyl epidemic.
No doubt, this is a heartbreaking story of a woman's apartment, I think it was in the Belmore area, Joe, came home, apartment was ransacked. It would have been her 64th wedding anniversary. But these guys, these crooks, stole a lot of things, including this woman's husband's urn. Ashes, that's right, stolen from her apartment last week. And we implore whoever did that, if anybody has information, return the urn, please. I mean, this is a terrible story, it really is.
Yeah, I guess they took it because they thought it, you know, it was gold. So, you know, this is, yeah, I mean, have a heart for crying out loud.
Eight holdups in all. Police got a tandem involved on this. 7-Elevens, gas stations all over the place in Suffolk County there.
Yep, that's another pattern that they closed out. We'll hear a little bit more about their motives behind it. So was it because they were, was it drug-related in respect that they needed the money for the drugs, whatever? If, like you saw with some of the other patterns that they uncovered, it would just be interesting to see if that continues.
Tolerance, we know, with this guy charged now. He sprayed liquid from a Coca-Cola bottle on a marked patrol vehicle in NASA. I think it happened Halloween night in the Westbury area. And the idiot, I guess, recorded the incident on his cell phone. Great evidence right there, Joe.
Yes, thank God for people like this. It makes the job for the police so much easier to do it. Plus, when you have the bill that is going to cost to fix the car, you can just hand it right over to the guy.
No question. And Joe, finally, I'll end with this. And I hate ending on a terrible note, but you know, what do you want from the crime report, folks, when we do this? But the nine Americans killed down in Mexico, ambushed, put to rest yesterday. I mean, gut wrenching. What can you say? Gut wrenching. You know, we have a problem. As far as over the border stuff, we talk about with immigration and everything else, but the drugs that are coming through, and these cartels, they are ruthless. And toughest story of the week, without question. Joseph, we'll talk again soon. How's that?
You got it. Have a great week.
Thank you, sir.